It's our first eight.
It's 8:30 New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike invites you to attend its coast-to-coast party. You furnish the questions and our experts try to answer them. For every question used, Lucky Strike will reward you with $10 in war stamps. If the question is muffed, you get a total of a $50 war bond plus the 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your questions a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid. And all questions become the property of Information Please. And now light up a Lucky Strike as I present our Master of Ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Information Please, as always, continues on its carefree, unplanned, and unrehearsed way. Tonight, our panel of experts consists of our two regulars, John Kieran and Franklin P. Adams, and as our guests, Mr. Deems Taylor, well-known music critic, composer, and other things, and Mr. H.I. Phillips, the creator of The Sundial and of Private Perky. Now we're going to begin with a question from Raymond E. Starbard of Docton, Washington. What are the parallels, gentlemen, in the present war to these phrases that come from the First World War? Let's get two out of three. The parallels in the present war. The first is 14 points. Mr. Kieran?
The four freedoms, or
five. I should think not an exact parallel, Mr. Phillips.
The points in the Atlantic Charter.
Yes, how many were there?
Ten.
I think there were eight.
Unless, eight points.
Is that right? I think that would be a more exact parallel, Mr. Kieran, to the 14 points. Four freedoms is a somewhat vaguer, more abstract kind of pronouncement. I think we'll call that wrong, John, if that's all right with you.
I yield.
Okay. Now, what's the parallel to my 4 years in Germany? First, we have to know Mr. Phillips.
Years in Moscow. I don't know how many years, by Davis. But
what was my 4 years in Germany? It's the...
story by Girard.
Yes.
Ambassador Girard.
That's exactly right. And Mission to Moscow?
Mission to Moscow.
To Moscow.
Would be a pretty good parallel, a more exact parallel.
Berlin Diary would be.
Pardon?
Berlin Diary.
No, Ambassador Dodds.
That's right, Mr. Adams. I think Mr. Adams has it exactly right. The late Ambassador Dodd wrote a diary of I don't know how many years in Berlin, and that would be a more exact parallel to Ambassador Girard's book. How about this? Private Bill Smith. Parallel to Private Bill Smith, Mr. Kieran?
Private Perky.
Private Perky, yes.
Thank you, John.
Did that occur to you?
By home.
It occurred to me, but I was just a little bit modest at this stage of the proceedings.
I see. Well, you'll get over that if you ever get on this program more than one or two times more. Who was Private Bill Smith, Mr. Phillips? Mr. Kieran?
Was that Streeter's book?
Hard-Boiled Smith.
And what book?
No, he was a lieutenant.
You've got it, Mr. Kieran.
Streeter.
Yes, in Ed Streeter's book, Dear Mabel, which was a great bestseller, a book about a doughboy in the other war.
And still funny.
And Mr. Phillips' new book about
still
Private
funny.
Perky is still funnier.
Still funnier.
By the way, Mr. Phillips, do you know what happened to Ed Streeter?
Yes, I know.
He's a banker.
Yes, he's a banker.
44th Street and 5th Avenue.
He's a vice president of a bank, and he started as a private in the infantry. Do you have any expectations,
private in the bank.
Mr. Phillips?
It's working down.
I'll settle
well, that
list.
Gives us two out of three. Here's one from Mrs. Neil E. Jarvie of Lakewood, Ohio. Now, I'm going to quote for you a few lines of poetry. Gentlemen, you are to sing a passage from a song that includes some of the words. Now, we don't want this same poetry set to music. In other words, you're going to give me a song, another song, that happens to use some of the words that are in these lines of poetry. Am I completely unclear?
Absolutely.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, that's what I was asking.
Do that three or four more times.
All right, now, I'll give you an example. No, I won't. I'll give you the first part of the question. Here is a line from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Over hill, over dale, through bush, through briar.
Thorough bush and thorough briar.
All right, I want... Let's
Quiet,
save a syllable. Now we have to sing a song which uses some of the words of that line. All together, gentlemen. Mr. Kieran.
Yes, the caissons go rolling
well,
along.
Well, let's have it. Let's have it.
I wasn't in the artillery.
Over hill, over dale, da 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 da. I'm not.
Well, the caissons go rolling along.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Pretty disgraceful.
Yeah,
exhibition.
Pretty awful. Still, Mr. Taylor, you at least had the temerity to start.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't come prepared to sing.
All right, that gives us one. Now here, now you get the idea, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Adams.
Yes,
our laggards. All right, here's another. Here are two lines from Shakespeare's The Tempest. Merrily, merrily shall I live now under the blossom that hangs on the bough. Now, Mr. Phillips, you going to sing for us?
Well, I write off the reel. Merrily we roll along?
Yeah, but sing.
Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along across the dark blue sea.
Or the bright blue sea.
So, isn't there another one? Row, row, row your boat. Same general notion, isn't it? Gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Oh, you're trying to lure us into singing more, that's all.
That was singing. I was singing that.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
All right, now that gives us two. Here's another. Fare thee well, and if forever, still forever, fare thee well. Mr. Adams, you're going to sing.
Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let this parting grieve thee. But remember that the best of friends must part.
Well, that's more like it. That's more like it. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Here's one from Mrs. J.N. Taylor of Kew Gardens, New York. Again, get 2 out of 3. It's about teeth. About teeth. How many teeth are there in a full set of deciduous teeth? Mr. Taylor, do you know what deciduous means, Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, I thought it had something to do with plants.
It has, but not in this particular case. Mr. Kieran?
Deciduous means to fall off.
Yeah. Well, what do you think deciduous teeth are?
Well, milk teeth, I should say.
Yes, milk or baby teeth.
Yeah.
How many teeth are there? Mr. Taylor, would you want to answer that one?
Well, let's see.
Count them, Mr. Taylor.
Come on. I haven't got them in my pocket.
32.
32? Have you ever been a baby,
no,
Mr. Taylor?
30.
32 teeth. You mean a
baby? No, as a matter of fact, I never have.
28,
Mr. Phillips.
Say.
24.
24. What do you say, Mr. Kieran?
I think it'd be something around Mr. Phillips or less than that.
I'd say
because
it'd be
they
two
don't
pairs
have
of
wisdom
12
teeth.
Minus wisdom teeth.
Well, that would make how many, Mr.?
28.
Oh, no, heavens. Haven't any of you ever had any children?
There are always two out in the front,
yes.
I know that.
That's right.
26.
No, babies have 20 teeth that they shed in the course of the first few years and then get the regular teeth that stick around.
With a string
for
on
a
door.
Time. 20 is the answer, not 30. Who said 32? Not you, Mr. Adams.
He's,
and you, the proud father
Cadmus.
Of four children. Goodness gracious. Haven't you ever counted your children's teeth?
That would be 80.
Now, gentlemen, tell me how many teeth there are in a full set of permanent teeth. I'd like to try Mr. Adams again.
That's 32.
That's 32, yes. And in a full set of false
teeth. I still have same.
All your teeth?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, Dad.
In a full set of false teeth?
Full set of false teeth.
Well, if I keep my appointment with Dr. Dwyer...
You'll have how many?
I don't know.
You don't know?
As many as I can afford.
Mr. Phillips.
I think they duplicate the regular teeth.
No,
they don't duplicate wisdom teeth. I know that.
You mean 32? No.
No, I should say 28.
Yes, that would be right. I have to count the answer wrong. The 28 is correct. Well, that sends a $50 war bond to Mrs. Taylor and a set of the Britannica.
And 28 is $500.
And a set of teeth.
And a full set of teeth, yes. 24 volumes of the encyclopedia. Here's one from Mrs. Howard Kresge of Tacoma, Washington. I'm going to give you the last words of several lines, and you have to complete the whole verse. You see, I give you just the last rhyme words, as it were. Let's get 2 out of 3. Here's the first set of rhyme words. Vision, derision, black, track. You have to fill in the lines.
Vision, derision,
black,
Mr.
Phillips.
Track.
There's a dawning look in your eye.
I know. Would you repeat it?
Sure, but it's going to sound just the same. Vision, derision, black, track.
Sounds worse, huh?
Mr. Kieran.
Is that one about Africa?
Keep it going, Mr. Kieran.
That's Vachalinsi.
Keep it going.
Well, I've forgotten it.
Then I saw a vision.
Attaboy, yes, Mr. Adams.
Go ahead.
Creeping through the...
Black.
Mm-hmm. You're putting this together like a...
creeping
jigsaw
the
puzzle with a couple of pieces missing. I'm going to start you off. Then I had religion. Then I had a vision. I could not turn from their revel in derision. Then I saw the Congo creeping through the black, cutting through the jungle with a golden track. Do you think I should give you gentlemen credit for that?
No.
No.
I don't care
whose money you lose. Very good. Here's another set of rhyme words. Loves, heard, that's H-E-A-R-D, look, word. Loves, heard.
Love, heard, look, word. Very lazy rhyme scheme.
Yeah, I know, it is kind of lazy. Non-Adams rhyme scheme.
Yeah.
Loves, heard, look, word. It's from a famous poem, but it is not a very famous stanza, or at least not terribly famous. Yet each man kills the thing he loves.
Ooh.
By each let this be heard, some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. What's it from, Mr. Adams?
Ballad of Reading James.
Now, wait a minute. The
wait a minute. There are
six
two more lines
in that stanza.
How can loves rhyme with the...
With look?
Yeah.
That's just to make it, hard.
The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword.
Yes, right, Mr. Kieran. Those are the two lines that are familiar. But the other four are the ones on which we get marked wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, here is another set of rhyme words, and this time they actually work out, Mr. Taylor.
Oh.
Tied, that's T-I-D-E, denied, flying, crying. Tied, denied, flying, crying.
And the Greg...
Well, we got two wrong out of two so far.
I wouldn't want you to mess up
and get this right, gentlemen. I must go down to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied, and all I ask... Mr. Kieran, could you go on with it?
All I ask is...
windy day.
Windy day and a gray dawn breaking.
Well, you got another stanza. That's very good. With the white clouds flying,
white
and the
clouds
flung
flying.
Spray, and the blown spume, and the seagulls crying. It's from what poem?
John Masefield. All
right. Well, it's tough doing that. Try it on your own piano sometime, folks who are listening, and see whether you can get these, get famous lines by just being given the four end words. That gives us three wrong out of three, making a neat pattern, and sending $50 in the way of a war bond.
We miss them and they stay missed.
Mrs. Kresge. And a set of the Britannica. How about this one from Dorothy Coles of Philadelphia? What article of clothing that our parents' generation used to buy fitted this description? I'm going to give you three descriptions, and they correspond to three articles of clothing that used to be worn, well, considerably long ago. Here's the first. Fancy stripes, buttons on the shoulder. Fancy stripes, buttons on the shoulder. Now, this would be around maybe 1905, something like that. Mr. Phillips?
Jeans, blue jeans?
Oh. No, you wouldn't have, blue jeans wouldn't have fancy stripes on them, I don't think.
Fancy stripes?
Fancy
buttons
stripes,
on
buttons
shoulder.
On the shoulder. Doesn't come back to you, Mr. Taylor.
Not a blazer.
No. A man's one-piece bathing suit around 1905.
Never wore one.
I know you didn't wear one, but your father may have. Mr. Adams, does it come back to you at all? They did wear those things.
Never had any buttons.
They used to hire them at Coney Island.
Yes, they used to hire them. And
I remember how they looked.
Well, if you remember how they looked, you should have gotten it right. Well, that's one wrong. Now, here's another description of a piece of costume of a long time ago. It has strength, sheen, and swish. Strength, sheen, and swish. Apparently, there's only one article of clothing that could have all those three things at once. Any ideas? Well, you can guess on this.
Man's clothing?
No, woman's. Mr. Phillips.
Hoop skirt?
No, though it's a shrewd guess.
You might should say...
Pardon?
A petticoat.
At a boy,
a
Mr.
silk
Adams.
Petticoat.
Petticoat, yes. What kind? Silk or taffeta?
Silk or taffeta.
Yes, which do you like?
Taffeta.
All right, we'll take taffeta. Now, here is the third and last.
I didn't know about the strength.
No, I don't. I think the hoop skirt would be there.
Do you still stick to that hoop skirt?
I stick to the strength on the...
But a hoop skirt didn't swish.
No, a hoop skirt didn't swish. I think Mr. Taylor's got
knocked
you there.
Knocked him down, but it didn't swish.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, did a petticoat have strength?
Oh, true.
Oh, yes.
Be amazed.
Terrific. Tremendous powers of resistance.
Yes.
Here's another. Straight front, fine batiste, bias gourd. Oh, Mr. Adams, do you really know that?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
That is, pardon my pointing, a corset.
That's right. And how did you get it, Mr. Adams?
Because I remember when the straight front used to be advertised.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That was around 1905, 1910. These descriptions,
seems
by the way...
Seems like yesterday.
sound as if you were very nostalgic. These are all from Sears Roebuck catalogs of the time. Well, I guess we got two wrong on that one, sending a $50 war bond to Mrs. Cowles and a set of the Britannica. We got our wrong guess on strength, sheen, and swish, and finally Mr. Adams got it, but he got it on the second
try. And the younger generation used to call the girls that wore them old Ironsides.
Is that so?
Yes.
Don't remember. Now Mr. Cross, not without a glance of reproach at Mr. Kieran, regrets that the Bard of Avon evidently was never introduced to tobacco.
Well, Mr. Fadiman, that's to be regretted, because Shakespeare, better than any other, might have summed up the importance of this simple pleasure in the scheme of things. Ladies and gentlemen, especially in these days, it's worth your while to make sure of the more complete enjoyment that comes only from fine tobacco. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. At market after market, year after year, we consistently pay whatever it costs to get the finer, lighter, milder leaf. For example, in Fairmont, North Carolina, at auctions of the 1939 crop, the American Tobacco Company paid 33% more for the tobacco it bought for its cigarettes and other tobacco products. Yes, 33% above the average market price published by the United States Department of Agriculture. And that crop, properly aged, mellowed, and blended with other fine crops, is in the Luckies you buy today. Mr. Fadiman, every smoker knows that in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. So aren't these facts worth acting on?
You've shown us reason enough, Mr. Cross, and in just 59 seconds. Now we'll go on with a question from Mrs. J.L. Whitten of Wilmington, Delaware. Who was at the receiving end of these violent actions? These come from poems or songs that I'm now going to describe. I think we ought to get... Well, let's get two out of three on this. Here's the first. Threw him down the stairs. Who was thrown? Mr. Adams?
No?
All right. Mr. Mr. Phillips.
Was it McCluskey? Thrown down McCluskey? That
he was thrown down, all right, but I don't think down the stairs. There I saw an old man who wouldn't say his prayers. I took him by the left leg and threw him.
Down the
That's
stairs.
The one. So it was an old man. Kieran.
That is from...
Tommy Atkins.
Right, and who was it that was chucked out, Mr. Kieran?
Tommy Atkins.
The man who went
Tommy
to...
Mr.
The
Adams?
Public house to get a pint of beer.
That's the fellow, yes. It's Tommy this and Tommy that and... Chuck him out, the brute, but it's savior of his country when the guns begin to shoot. Now, finally, beat him. Beat him. Mr. Taylor.
Speak roughly to your little boy and beat him when he sneezes.
That's the one, Mr. Taylor. It's from what?
It's from Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, from Lewis Carroll. That gives us two out of three. How about this from Cora Birch of Hollywood, California? Here's an animal question right up Mr. Kieran's alley. Get two out of three. What is or was... the following animals, a blind pig, a hep cat, and a harness bull. A blind pig, I have four hands on a blind pig, I regret to say. Mr. Phillips?
Blind pig was one of my favorite drinking places years ago. Speakeasy?
Yes. What were the ones that weren't your favorite drinking places?
Those were the only ones years ago.
They were close.
Mr. Kieran?
Well, you've got the next one?
Hep cat.
Oh, hep, how do you spell it?
H-E-P, hep.
H-E-P.
Oh, everybody knows that.
No, hep cat.
Mr. Taylor?
Wise guy.
Oh, no. Oh. And you a musician, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, why that?
It's a musical term.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't. You think it is.
Well, that was a pretty good argument. a hep cat is a jive term. What's jive, Mr. Taylor?
I said it wasn't musical.
Listen, there are a lot of folks who like swing who listen to this program, and very nice people
so do
they
I.
are. A jive term describing one who's up on all things pertaining to swing is called a hep cat. He's a cat. That is,
who is
an enthusiast
hep.
Who is hep, yes.
In other words, right. A wise guy.
Well, but it has a special reference to swing music. Mm-hmm. Or to swing, shall we say, Mr. Taylor, in deference to your sensibilities.
Swing, yeah.
Okay. And a harness bull, gentlemen, is what? A harness bull? Mr. Phillips?
Detective, I think.
Which one is that?
A policeman.
Yes, that's right. A policeman in uniform is called a harness bull. Mr. Kieran, any...
Uniformed policeman.
Yes, uniformed policeman. That gives us two out of three. All right.
Gum show, is it?
How about this one from Mrs. S.T. Neal of Seattle, Washington? Why are these people murdered? And these people are all from literature. Get two out of three. The first is Cinna, the poet. Cinna, the poet, Mr. Curran?
Because he was unfortunately of the same name as Sinner the Conspirator.
Yes.
Kill him for his bad verses, anyhow.
Yes, just a poor, miserable sinner. And how about Mr. Hoskins? Remember why Mr. Hoskins was murdered, Mr. Adams?
Mr. Hoskins was in arsenic and own lace.
Yeah?
Why he was murdered, I forget, but why almost everybody was murdered there.
Yes, yes, but there's a reason for
it. Mr. Hoskins was...
He was lonely.
Yes, he was a lonely old man. And why did that cause his death, Mr. Taylor?
Because he would be happier that way.
Yeah, the girls were sorry for him.
Yeah, the old gals were sorry. The old aunts they were sorry on poor old men. They put him to You know, everything in that play is old, Mr. Taylor. It's old lace and old men and old aunts and
old Lindsay and old Krause.
Yes, and old sherry wine too, as a matter of fact. Well, how about Baron Scarpia? Baron Scarpia. Mr. Taylor.
Well,
okay so far. You want to toss that to our operatic expert over here, Mr. Curran?
Well, I'll toss it to Curran.
He
I know
killed
why,
because but... He promised to let loose the lover of the prima donna.
Tosca.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
No, she killed him before.
Oh.
Go ahead. Fight it out, boys. When it comes to opera, I stay on the sidelines.
I don't think she killed him before that.
Mm-hmm. Because...
Well, then I'm wrong if she did.
Before what?
All right.
Killed him before what?
If he lives and it's an opera, something's wrong.
Possibly kill him to avoid this argument.
He gets Tosca in the apartment, see?
Yeah. I follow you.
And he says, if you will be mine...
Yeah.
I will free...
Be yours.
Mario.
Yeah.
So she says, okay...
Yeah. Yeah, that takes
so
about 12 minutes.
He writes a note saying, fire only blank cartridges at Mario.
Yeah.
Whereupon he says to Tosca, well, what about it? And she stabs him.
She stabs him, yes. That's right. She does it again.
No, later on, she finds that he has double crossed her because they don't use blank cartridges and they. Shoot Mario, and he's really dead.
You think Adams understands the word?
And then she
this?
Jumps out off the wall of the castle.
Mm-hmm. Still, that's a better plot than most of those operas.
I would like it anyway.
It's very good.
Oh, I guess we get by on that one. Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, don't mention it.
You ought to be a narrator on a radio program, Mr. Taylor. How about this one from George V. George V. Nyman of Berwyn, Illinois? I want you to identify the selections that you're going to hear played on the big bull fiddle here on the bass viol. That's a very simple question, isn't it? All you have to do is tell us what's being played. Let's have the first. There are going to be four selections. Let's have the first. Mr. Phillips, you had your hand up.
The first part of there, she goes on her toes, but I don't know the rest of it.
I don't think that was ever fixed up for the bass viol. Any idea, Mr. Taylor?
This is the time of the evening when I think wistfully of Oscar Levant.
Well, that is from the big bass viol, Zoom, 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 he played on his big bass viol. And I believe it's a favorite trick piece for bass violists. Do you call them violists? What do you call them? Violists?
Bull fiddlers.
Bull fiddlers. All right, that's one wrong.
Well, it's very much like that. There she goes on her toes, all dressed up in her Sunday clothes. It's practically the same...
Well, there are only three notes on a bass fiddle, you know. Now
there
let's
are
have
more.
The.
I detected four or
That's
five
all they play. There are lots more notes.
Well, you're going to listen to a few more. Now that I'm going to hint, give you a little hint on the next one. The next one is sort of classical.
Oh, sort
in
of
fact,
classic.
It is classical. Why should I hide it from you? All right. Now, isn't that classical?
Beethoven 7th.
No.
Well, 5th.
Yeah, that's it. did you mean 5th all along?
I meant 5th all along.
Gee, I knew you meant 5th. I can say you're just trying to blow up Beethoven and make
it's the opening of the canon section.
The scherzo. All right. I don't know whether to call you. I think I'm going to call that right, Mr. Taylor.
I think it'd be very nice of you.
All right. Now, let's have the next one. Any ideas, gentlemen?
I told you it wasn't music.
Whoa, be careful. You're treading on some sacred toes here.
That sounds like Sullivan to me.
It does?
Mm-mm.
A little.
Sullivan never slapped a bass in his life.
No, he never did. He was much too well-mannered. Mr. Curran, any idea? It's George Gershwin, Slap That Bass. Didn't you hear him slap it?
I heard him slap it.
Well, that's it. It's Slap That Bass. Very easy when you hear
him slap it. Well, I knew George, and he never mentioned that piece. Now, he's ashamed of it.
All right, now the fourth and last. Mr. Phillips, do you still think that's... There she goes.
News to me. I never heard that.
Any ideas, Mr. Kieran?
Sounds like a minuet to me.
It's Carnival of the Animals, Saint-Saëns. How do you say that?
Saint-Saëns.
Saint-Saëns, all right. From,
That much I do know.
Well, right. And that gives us three wrong out of
four.
Very
unfamiliar piece.
Apparently. Send a $50 war bond to Mr. Nyman and a set of the Britannica. Now, before we go on to the next question...
When a cello needs a friend.
Oh, that's why you weren't answering the question. You're just thinking that up all along.
No, I wasn't.
Mr. Cross reminds us that the government stamp isn't the only sort of stamp on your package of Luckies.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's another stamp that means a lot, even though you can't see it. It's the stamp of approval of independent tobacco experts. In the considered judgment of these auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen who know tobacco from A to Z, Luckies are the preferred cigarette of an overwhelming majority. In fact, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1. Surely this tobacco expert stamp of approval on Lucky's is worth remembering and worth your acting on. For at auctions all over the South, these experts see just who buys what tobacco. Yes, they see the makers of Lucky's consistently pay the price to get the milder, better-tasting leaf. It all adds up to this. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. So, smokers, why not choose the cigarette that bears the stamp of approval of independent tobacco experts?
Thank you, Mr. Cross. That took just 58 seconds. And now, how about a question from Emily T. Hensel of Seattle, Washington. Who's the character whose age is given in these lines? Here's the first. Though he was only three. Who is that? Mr. Kieran.
James Harrison, Harrison, Weatherby, George
III.
Morrison. All right, Morrison.
That's the general idea. He got four names out of five, Mr. Adam.
He took great care of his mother, though he was only three.
Yes, it's from A.A. Mill. And how about this one? How soon hath time, the subtle thief of youth, stolen on his wing my 23rd year? Very lovely lines.
Is it something low?
No.
I should have quit when I was ahead.
Oh,
Shakespeare's sonnet.
You're only a couple of centuries out. Mr. Kieran, any ideas? It's a sonnet, all right.
It's a sonnet.
Yes. It's from Milton's sonnet on his having arrived at the age of...
23
and 20. Boy. All right, how about this one? You were 16. You were 16, Mr. Adams. Mr. Kieran.
When you were 16?
When you were 16, and I...
I was a big red rose? No.
I was a Christian slave.
No. You were my village queen.
That's the one, Mr. Kieran. Very good. Well, that gives us 2 out of 3, and that's all we'll have time for. Thank you, Mr. Taylor and Mr. Phillips, for helping out tonight. Now, in a few seconds, I'll announce next week's guests. Tonight, Lucky Strike has paid out four $50 war bonds and 4 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And speaking of war bonds, by the way, in the near future, our flyers are going to be making a number of free trips to Tokyo and Berlin with all expenses paid. To make their sightseeing possible, invest in United States war bonds and stamps regularly, week after week, until victory is won. Now, next week, our three musketeers will be back in force, and with them as our guest, Senator Henry Cabot Lodge, Jr., now a major in the USA Tank Corps and just back from the Libyan front. Send letters with questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, at 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now, a parting message from Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs, famous tobacco auctioneer from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Let that chant remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.